Mini-episode 586 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 586. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. We have a very fun conversation coming your way today. We are going to be joined momentarily by the scout, Ken Bex of firstdownscouting.com. That's the number one, stdownscouting.com. The occasion of our conversation is to break down the annual list that FDH has of the NFL's top 32 players. Just to recap briefly for anyone unfamiliar with the series, every summer we go through the four major sports in North America and go through and break down a list of the top players, and then we record show segments where the lists are evaluated, what an expert likes, doesn't like, etc. And we have already done the ones for this year for the NBA and for the NHL. Ben Chu of that NBALotteryPick.com evaluated our NBA Top 30 list, and Russ Cohen of Sportsology.com evaluated our NHL Top 30 list. Now, again, just to recap, 30 players in those sports. The reason, it's an average of one player per team. That's why the NFL has 32. And yet, this is probably the toughest one to do, I think, no doubt about it, because of the number of positions in the NFL, the fact that it's apples and oranges as far as everything that has to be taken into account. The MLB one is tough because it's in season and because there are more positions in baseball than there are in basketball or in hockey, but still probably not as tough as the NFL top 32. We have so many different skill sets to take into comparison, so many different things that a player brings to the table. The rule of thumb for this, by the way, just to get this out of the way before we start, it's if a season started today, what would be the rank in which you would take players if it was a live draft? This is, again, not a fantasy draft. So notwithstanding the fact that the origin of the FDHLounge.com is FantasyDraftHelp.com, and by the way, you can find our show embedded on the cover of the FantasyDraftHelp.com annual guide, Fantasy Football Draftology 2015. It's become a tradition in recent years to put our guide on the front page there, to have it as an embedded link. Notwithstanding the direct ties that we have had and will have to the fantasy sports world, this is a non-fantasy list. Statistics are important in the sense that they can guide us perhaps towards a larger truth, that they can reveal the strengths and weaknesses of different players. But again, there are some players that, again, are a little bit better at others than padding the stat sheet. There are some statistics that, even though they're impressive, may not necessarily shed full light on what we're really supposed to be looking at for the importance of these players. So this is from the perspective of a 16-game season. If it were to start tomorrow, who are the players that you would want? And by the way, a little bit of a spoiler alert here, that takes into account suspensions, because there are a couple of players on this list that are going to be missing the first couple of games of the season, and that is taken into account with their rankings. We have, as I indicated, our expert for these purposes, our good friend and FDH Lounge dignitary, and of course the proprietor of First Down Scouting. You can find it, of course, at the number one, stdownscouting.com. The scout, Ken Bex, good friend, personally and professionally. Ken Bex, how are you today, my man? So great to have you here to break down the list.
Hey, how's it going, Rick, man? I tell you, it was just a pleasure actually going through the rosters and trying to come up with 32 guys I felt worthy to be on the list because, you know, as you know, with the 32 teams and the multiple people on the roster, it's hard to break it down.
So you have, if the text that I received is correct here, you have your own list of 32 as well, correct?
Oh, yeah, I did actually come up. You know, there's multiple players
awesome.
That I have at certain positions, but these are the 32 guys I would love to go to war with.
Oh, this is a first. What a bonus. All right, we'll have to save time for this as we're going through evaluating this list. We'll save time at the end. For the first time ever, one of our experts generates his own list. That is going to be a treat to get to. Let's start the process here. We always start by going through guys who were dropped off of the FDH list from 2014. See if you have any disagreements with any of these guys. There are 14 of them in all. Last year, Nick Foles was number 29. He's off the list. All these guys are represented with the number that they had last year. Keenan Allen, 27. Cam Newton, 26. Robert Mathis, 25. Patrick Peterson, 23. Vontaze Burfict, 22. Colin Kaepernick, 21. A.J. Green, 19. Jimmy Graham, 17. LeSean McCoy, 16. Geno Atkins, 15. Jamal Charles, 7. Adrian Peterson, 5. Robert Quinn, 4. I have to tell you, Scout, probably the toughest calls for me in terms of guys that dropped off the top 32 this year would probably be Jamal Charles, who I know you've been fond of from day one. Cam Newton, I think, was kind of a tough call there. And Patrick Peterson, although he had a bad year by his standards, was kind of a tough call. Adrian Peterson, it's hard to know what to make of him after a year out. Anybody you really disagreed with as far as those 14 guys that didn't make it this year?
Well, there was a couple of guys that you dropped that are on my list.
Okay.
And I'll just say Adrian Peterson was one of them. But, you know, one of the, you know, the off-the-field situation is an effect, you know, whether he's on the list too. So I could definitely see where, you know, you might not have him on there because that's a definite, you know, he's an unknown right now because, you know, he didn't play.
Exactly.
So I could definitely see him off the list. Graham is another guy that I do have on my list.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham, and I'll talk about that later. But actually, I feel pretty comfortable about the tight end position going into this year, especially for the fantasy situation. I know a lot of people are down on him, but it's actually a pretty deep position. And as far as Patrick Peterson, he wasn't on my top 32, so I didn't have a problem with him, and I think the majority of the people that you had on there.
Okay. The other one that, as I'm looking at this now, a very tough call for me, A.J. Green. He was 19 a year ago. Maybe not quite the year we expect by his standards, but you can't always take that into consideration when you're looking at the start of a new season. I think in some cases, Scout, it's almost a little bit encouraging if somebody is coming off of a down campaign because you know somebody as great as them may not have two in a row in them and that they're due to bounce back a little bit. So A.J. Green was a very tough call for me as well.
Right. And, you know, I have my wide receiver group that I'll talk about later, and he was definitely right on the cusp right there. So he's another guy that, you know, right on that borderline where, you know, if somebody had him on the list, you really couldn't argue with it. But he is a borderline guy with talent, and you really couldn't argue with
it. Interesting. Yeah, so we both had him right about in the same place, it sounds like. All right, the way we'll do this, we'll count back from 32 to 1, and we'll start by just taking a third tier and second tier because those groups on the list are pretty small. Going backwards from 32, Tony Romo, who was not on the list a year ago, Ben Roethlisberger is 31. He was not on the list a year ago. DeMarco Murray, 30, also not on the list last year. Number 29, Drew Brees. He had the biggest fall down the list while remaining on the list from 2014. He was number 8 a year ago, plunging 21 spots, still making the list, a great quarterback, but somebody who clearly is entering the declining years of his career, however rapidly that may be, and again, somebody that doesn't have the weapons that he used to, especially this year with Jimmy Graham not being there. So those four guys, three of them being quarterbacks, Romo, Roethlisberger, Murray, and Brees, counting backwards from 29. Thoughts on if you think they're too high or too low, Ken?
I don't have DeMarco Murray on my list, actually. And he was another borderline guy. I only have two running backs, actually, on my list, so position that was kind of slighted. As far as Brees, he just missed the list, actually. And I have six quarterbacks, believe it or not, on my list. And he just missed the list. As far as Romo, too, he just missed the list. And I did have Roethlisberger. I love Roethlisberger. And the reason I like him so much is because he's a throwback. And I feel like he could have played in any type of decade, whether it's now or, you know, in the past, in the 70s and 80s, you know, when the requirements were more physical back then, you know, Rick.
Yeah.
And so I feel, you know, Roethlisberger is one of those kind of guys who can get it done, whether it's through the air, you know, keeping a play alive, whether it's throwing defenders off or whatever he has to do. So I think Roethlisberger actually in the NFL is one of those kind of guys that goes a little bit, I wouldn't say unnoticed,
His style definitely is throwback as far as being a pure pocket passer. No question about that. Pure pocket passing skills have been something that the league has been kind of trending away from, maybe slowly, but certainly trending in that direction over a period of time. I can see where Murray wouldn't have made your list. He dropped, He was on the list, off the list a year ago, but at 30, mm-hmm. because, again, a lot of mileage on him from last year. And these are the things we're taking into consideration. What's it going to be like this right. year with the effects of last year on him? No doubt that's a factor. Our second tier is also a pretty short one. We go backwards from 28 to 23. At 28, we have Julio Jones, who was not on the list a year ago. 27, Andrew Whitworth, also making it onto the list, I believe, for the first time ever. 26, Von Miller, he was 18th a year ago. 25, Luke Kuechly, he was 28th a year ago. So pretty close, one of the rare guys who's about where he was last year. 24, Sheldon Richardson, who was not on the list last year. Again, some of the issues that surround him, he'd be higher had it not been for some of those. Speaking of which, number 23, Tom Brady, he was 6th a year ago. Second biggest fall down the list while remaining on the list from 2014. That, of course, is almost completely because he will miss the first four games of the season. So somebody that you'd like to have for the last 12, to be sure, but you have to account for his absence in the first four if you're going to have him on your team as the New England Patriots do. So an interesting and tricky tier, I thought. Scout, thoughts on 28 to 23 there? Anybody you agree or disagree with?
Julio Jones, I do have on my list, and by the way, I do have six wide receivers, at least four, I know, and I know he's one of my guys. Say Andrew Whitworth, because I was going to have him on my list, but, you know, it's tough having everybody on there, but I love that pick that you had of Whitworth. He tends to go unnoticed. Luke Kuechly, you got to have him in there. He's my top inside linebacker. And Sheldon Richardson didn't make the list, but I can definitely give an argument off the field of factor too. And Brady is on my list.
Okay. Very interesting. So some points of concurrence there. The first tier is 1 through 22, but that would be too big of a bite here. So let's go 22 backwards to 11, and then we can address the top 10 separately. 22 is Joe Staley. He was 31st a year ago. 21, Demaryius Thomas, 20th in 2014, just about the closest to where anybody was a year ago. Number 20, Tyron Smith, who had the awesome year last year for Dallas, not on the list, obviously, a year ago. 19, Joe Thomas, he was 32nd a year ago. Le'Veon Bell, 18th, he was not on the list a year ago. Again, would be a little bit higher were it not for the relatively short suspension at the beginning of the year. Number 17, Peyton Manning. He was 2nd a year ago, 3rd biggest fall down the list while remaining on the list from 2014. 16, Cam Chancellor. He was 14th a year ago, so pretty consistent. 15, Marcell Dareus, 15th a year ago, so completely consistent. 14, Earl Thomas, 9th in 2014. 13, Russell Wilson, 12th a year ago. A lot of the Seahawks remaining fairly constant from last year. Speaking of which, another guy who was, Andrew Luck, 12th. He was 10th a year ago. And number 11 is Antonio Brown, who was not on the list in 2014, but rocketed up with the dominant season that he had in the absence of Emmanuel Sanders last year and being the undisputed number one target. So thoughts on how this broke out, Ken?
Well, I tell you, I find your offensive lineman picks vary. It's a really good pick, and I love the Tyron Smith pick. You can't go wrong with Joe Thomas. Staley, good athlete. And I don't see nothing but upside with him. And I got to give you some ups on these offensive linemen. You're doing a good job on that. Manning did make my list, actually. That was a close call. Bale, the running back from Pittsburgh, he was another close call. Didn't quite make the list, but like I said, a lot of these guys are right on the borderline and are worthy to be on the 32 team. Andrew Luck, you know, I was surprised that you actually had him dropping a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it was very, very tough to slot a lot of these guys. And, again, the whole apples and oranges notion of different positions and what they bring, again, relative to especially the hockey and basketball lists, this one is just brutal to do, and to an extent relative to baseball. If it weren't for the fact that baseball is in season when I'm doing this, I have to say that this would be hands down a lot harder than baseball. But, yeah, so many different skill sets to take into consideration. Let's go from 10 to 6, and this is going to be great the way we're doing this because we'll save time for the very special bonus of your list at the end here, which I can't wait to hear. Going backwards from 10 to 6, Darrell Revis, he is number 10. He was coming off of a little bit of a down year by his standards the previous year and did not make the top 32. And, again, I think that shows you NFL, it might be the toughest one year to year to stay on the list when a guy like Revis drops off altogether, and when he resurfaces with another great year, by even by his standards, is back up at number 10. Number 9, Rob Gronkowski, another guy who played in New England last year, who, again, just had to prove he could stay healthy. That had not been the case the previous couple of years. He was not on the list because he would have been, I think, too big of a risk coming into 2014, although he did make it happen last year. Third biggest jump off the list from being left off the list in 2014, and the bigger jumps are still in front of him. Number 8, Richard Sherman. He was 11th a year ago. Again, pretty close right there. Number 7, Odell Beckham. Obviously not on the list a year ago. Second biggest jump off the list from being off of it in 2014. And number 6, Marshawn Lynch. He was 24th a year ago, and his jump is the biggest one from 2014 to this year, jumping up 18 spots. So it's Revis, Gronkowski, Sherman, Beckham, and Lynch. With the exception of Beckham, guys who have been on our tongue for a number of years as far as being the best players of their generation, and they're taking up some of the key spots right there, along with the rookie who put up, along with Randy Moss, maybe the greatest wide receiver season of all time for a first-year guy.
Beckham, you know, he's a guy that actually makes my list. I know you're playing in third season, but a guy that's definitely worthy in that rookie year. He's definitely got to look for more for this year and see what he can do. Of course, that remarkable catch, everybody remembers that one. I know you remember that, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
The one-handed catch he had. You got to love that. Gronkowski, you know, coming into the year, I know as far as fantasy goes, he's number one. As long as he stays healthy, like said, with the issues of health. And Revis, you know, definitely is on my top 32. But a guy that did drop a little bit in my eyes, like you say, you know, he's definitely one of the top cornerbacks in the league. Marshawn Lynch actually didn't make the cut for me. And, you know, speaking of my list, a lot of it has to do with position. You know, I have two guys, tackle, center. So I try to get every. In order to do that, you got to take somebody out, like maybe a Lynch. All those guys are worthy.
Well, it's tough. There's a lot of trade-offs. And, yeah, Lynch, to a smaller degree, you're looking at the same thing as DeMarco Murray. He's been ridden pretty hard the last couple of years by Seattle, I think, to an extent. That's why it was hard for Seattle to come to a fair contract number with him, because in order to be a team that keeps perpetuating a dynasty like Seattle's trying to be, you can never fall into the trap of paying somebody on past experience, even if you feel like they've been underpaid there. So finding a fair number for Lynch going forward, whether it be on a rankings list or a salary list, is tough to do because of the mileage that he's had. Also tough, again, Odell Beckham. That's one of these things, Ken, where again, you know, it would be almost unheard of, I think, for a guy with really a 12-game sample set to be in the top 10. So I can see where he would be off the list altogether, because in terms of proving it over the long term, hasn't demonstrated it yet. Of course, he did all of that without Victor Cruz, which to my point of view makes it even more impressive, because why wouldn't you just quadruple team him coming down the stretch if you're the other team, and yet he was still making it happen.
Right.
So, you know, it's very, very tricky on some of these guys getting it right. And again, I think that's because the NFL is the toughest one to do a list for.
No question. And getting back to Beckham, I can see why you have him on, you know, because there's a good argument for having him on there, because, you know, I hate using the upside thing, but with him so young in his career, the little glimpse of the 12-game, you know, sample size we did have, he did show remarkable, you know, skill. And the thing I like about him, too, is the field awareness of, like, you know, almost like a veteran 2, 3, 4 years in the league. So he's a guy that you definitely – and there's a rookie that I got coming in that's on my 32 that will be definitely an eye catcher and somebody in our division. In the North Division of the AFC, that I think you're going to, let's put it this way, Browns fans will be happy with.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to see how that goes. That's going to be it's already racing through my head who that could possibly be. But in the meantime here, we'll get to the cream of the crop on the FDH list before we pivot to your list. The top five on our top 32 for 2015. Number five, Calvin Johnson. He was third a year ago. Megatron, a definite off year by his standards. But again, we're looking at it coming into this year. You have to believe that a guy like him, probably the greatest wide receiver of his generation, is going to be more determined than ever to have a bounce back season. I think that's what accounts for it, and the fact that 2014 is really the only off year we can cite in a long time. Number four, Justin Houston, biggest jump onto the list from being left off in 2014. He just exploded last year in Kansas City. Again, had been a great player before then, but with the number of sacks, he was running neck and neck all year long with J.J. Watt, soon to be announced on the list here, and that's really, really impressive. Number three, Ndamukong Suh, who was number 30 on the list a year ago, biggest jump up on the list while still being on the list in 2014, 27 spots right there. He goes from Detroit to Miami. It was a historic year by his standards. You look at the run defense that Detroit had, and it wasn't all him, but a lot of it was, and he is one of the biggest difference makers that you could have defensively, no question. The guy I think who is the biggest difference maker defensively in the league, this has been a very, very interesting discussion, and they even had it with the great Bill Barnwell over at Grantland recently here. Is it Aaron Rodgers or J.J. Watt? There's almost a consensus right now in a lot of quarters that they're number one and number two in the league. We went the same way Bill Barnwell did. J.J. Watt, number two. He was 13th a year ago. Aaron Rodgers, number one. He repeats as the top player on our list, kind of going the same way as what Barnwell said. I hate to think that he's stealing our thunder at all, but the whole sense of what a quarterback can do. And you look at Green Bay being such a god-awful team in his absence toward the tail end of the 2013 season, and the difference that he made when he came back versus J.J. Watt. He's an incredible player, but you go to the season before, and if you know, management, I think, could have deployed the old slogan of we could have finished in last place without him, because even as great as he is, how much of a difference can you make versus being a quarterback? That was the reasoning anyways, but a tough top five to segment out. Megatron 5, Justin Houston 4, Sue 3, Watt 2, Rodgers 1. Take it away, Ken. What do you think of our top five?
Well, there was one of your top five that did make the list, and when we get to my list, I think it'll become obvious. One guy that I think, well, the top two guys, I can't argue with whatsoever. Like I said, I didn't put mine 1 through 32, but if I had to, you know, pick, I definitely probably have those two guys at the top of the list. Aaron Rodgers, like you said, that guy is a consensus-type pick. What he brings to a team, I mean, he's taking a snap every time. And pretty much, you know, the organization is in his hands. Like you said, you know, they win and lose with him. He does have the good tools around him, but I think he even elevates the receivers that he has to another level, you know. And so we're talking about an all-time quarterback here, not just during our time, but, you know, we're looking at history every time you watch him play. So Aaron Rodgers, if it wasn't for an Aaron Rodgers, I probably would say J.J. Watt would be the consensus-type guy that you would. You're talking about pretty much a one-time-in-a-lifetime type of quarterback if he can keep this going for a few more years. So definitely Hall of Fame type of guy. Calvin Johnson, like you said, he's probably the best wide receiver during his time since he strapped it up. So I definitely can't say anything about that. Sue, same thing, a dominant-type force inside. Takes multiple blocks, definitely a game-changing type of guy that changed the momentum of the game on the defensive side. Justin Houston was the guy that I left off, but not for, lack of talent. Like you said, it was a one-year thing, and it's all in the perspective of how you're trying to look at this. You know what I mean, Rick? And so he could easily be in your top five. And it's all in how you're encompassing the whole situation. And like I said, I didn't go through 1 through 32. I went through alphabetical because, for me, it was just, you know, the guys that I have in the top 32 are like, you know, like when you have kids, who's the best kid? You know, you love them all.
Right,
so
right.
It was tough for me to rank the guys. And I think you had a real hard task going 1 through 32. I give you all the credit in the world because that would have just put me over the top trying to even consider that. So I give you all the credit. That's why I can't even question any of the 32, because that once you start going 1 through 32, that's a whole different situation because you got to embellish position. You know, where are they at in their career? You know, are you trying to start a team from day one? You know, are we starting from, you know, week one? Are we talking about this guy's history, past history? So, you know, you got to embellish all this type of stuff, and that's when it starts getting – it's a fun thing, you know, because especially if we could debate, you know, if we could have some of our guys from our crew debating this, I'm sure we could go a half a day to a full day just in the draft room there going through these guys. But this is what makes it so fun because there is no, you know, consensus 1 through 32. But I think the majority of the guys we both have, any NFL team would love to have them on the roster.
Well, thank you very much, Scout. The highest praise possible coming from you. And, again, this just sort of exemplifies this concept of what we tried to do with this show is to have these fun kind of debates here. You know, and we can all think of what would be fun barstool debates as far as, is this guy better than this guy? But to be able to do it in this kind of a way, put a list together, get it evaluated, again, it's a microcosm, I think, of what we're all about as far as the kind of fun and educated discussions we like to have. In terms of yours, you're saying it's not from 1 to 32. I'm looking at the pacing here on what we have left.
Okay.
Let's start here. Why don't you give about 10 names or so? Maybe let's take this about in thirds and see how that works for us pace-wise. So start off,
okay.
I think you said you have this alphabetically, right?
Right. I'll tell you what, let's go I'll try and go 1 through 10 here, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I got Tom Brady is alphabetical order. Tom Brady.
Okay.
Rashad Breeland, which is a cornerback that I love from Washington, up and rising type of guy. Dez Bryant, Jamal Charles, of course, Jimmy Graham. Henry Hanowski is the fullback that I picked from New York Giants. And like I said, I was trying to get every position in there just to, you know, have a representative. Calvin Johnson, of course, Julio Jones, you know, inside linebacker from Carolina, Andrew Luck, and Alex Mack.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, you know, we saw Alex Mack last year. This is all, it sort of goes back to the Aaron Rodgers thing, doesn't it? You see how important they are when they're not in there. And Alex Mack, if he is back 100% early this year, I certainly can see that. And I tell you what, yeah, very interesting putting a fullback on there and a very, very deserving one. And I thought, again, very, very interesting in terms of the choices made because, as you've indicated, it's very, very difficult on this kind of a basis. And somebody like Kelsey, who I think is very deserving, just missed the cut on our list. So a very promising start to with your first 10 alphabetical names there, Ken.
Yeah. Continuing, we got Khalil Mack, the outside linebacker from Oakland. Mike Mitchell is a guy that I absolutely love, a strong safety out of Pittsburgh.
Love a Bobcat. You gotta love a Bobcat.
Oh, so you know about Mike Mitchell. I love that guy. You know, he's definitely undershadowed throughout his career. You know, he started out in Carolina, but through free agency, he moved over to the Steelers. you love that Bobcat pride there, don't you?
Yeah.
I forgot about that, by the way.
Nice.
Thanks for reminding me.
No problem.
Reggie Nelson, the free safety from the Bengals. Jason Peters, awesome tackle from Philadelphia, which is a little long in the tooth, but I'm looking at it for a one-year situation. Adrian Peterson, you know, assuming he's going to come back to the old guy. Robert Quinn, which is a defensive end that I was really skeptic on because he's only about 260. I usually like my guys about 280, but he brings so much off the edge on the pass rush that I had to include him. We got Revis in there, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger.
That's a very interesting list there. Peters is always a guy, year in and year out, that I'm looking at. And I think he's been on the list some years and off the list some years. But, yeah, I can't argue with that. Quinn is somebody, that, again, that's been on our list and has been pretty high. And it's remarkable in their defensive scheme that they get as much out of him as they do from a pass rushing standpoint. Because I think usually in a scheme like that, you're just more of a space eater. So that's what's interesting. You're talking about you like him a little bigger in that scheme, and that's more the traditional role. But they've got him almost sort of more as a hybrid extra outside linebacker there. And somehow or another, they make it work. And Khalil Mack, that was one of the toughest calls as far as not being on our list because sort of the same thing as Beckham, 1 year in, but my gosh, look at what he did and how great he is, and a guy who lived up to all of the pre-draft hype, I thought, last year, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, he, the thing I like about him, he's a balanced guy as far as, you know, he can bring a little bit off the edge, and he really can set versus, you know, supporting the run. So he's an all-around
yep.
type of guy, and that's one thing I was looking at because, you know, you got some guys that are mainly outside rushers, but I'm looking more for, you know, if you're going week out, week in, you know, supporting the run, the pass, the whole thing. So that's one thing I'm looking at. Well, these guys are all real well-rounded type guys and definitely can support your team come Sunday and contribute with the W.
Absolutely. And, again, this is a lot of fun right here because this is a real role reversal because the way we've done this the last couple of years with the lists is we go through and it's just a matter of getting the FDH list critiqued. Now I find myself responding to what you're saying, and I'm finding it to be very, very interesting. Let's go through the 12 guys left, and we can kind of talk about the overall thing with any remaining time.
Well, I think this is the guy, the rookie.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is definitely a projection, and the guy that I told you the Browns took, I believe, what, 8th overall or 12th overall, and that's Danny Shelton. Now, I was looking
okay.
through the rosters with the NFL, and, you know, the nose guard position is pretty thin anymore, you know, with most teams not. Well, they're starting to go back to the 3-4, but to find a guy that I'll put it to you this way. When I seen him at University of Washington, now, you know, I don't say this too often. He's got Hall of Fame-type attributes, no question about
nice.
It.
Nice.
And so when, you know, the Browns selected him, you know, I was – you can imagine how I was doing the cartwheels at home when I seen
sure.
that selection there, Rick. So, you know, it has nothing to do with my personal love for the Browns. This is strictly,
sure.
you know, evaluation. This guy is going to come in and definitely change the way the Browns' defensive line and their whole structure on the defensive side because not only can he stuff the run, but I feel like he's going to be able to show that he can – bring the pass rush too, you know, and so he's
that's
an all-around
awesome.
Guy and is going to be a perennial Pro Bowl and could push maybe Hall of Situation.
Before we go on to the next guy, let me just ask you about him a little bit quick here because, again, I don't uh-huh. want to be a guy who gets caught up too much, and maybe this is true. Maybe I get a little bit too much caught up in, you know, 4-3, 3-4 schemes maximizing the abilities of guys. My only worry mm-hmm. is I look at him in a 3-4 and I say, are we ever going to see the best of what he's able to do in that scheme? What are your thoughts? You clearly don't seem to
you
have
know
the
what?
Same concerns.
I'll tell you what. This is the ideal situation, actually. I mean, when
okay.
when I knew
Ooh.
We were primarily going to be running a 3-4, he is, which I put it this way, you almost couldn't pick a better specimen for the nose guard position. Because his,
okay.
you know, for one thing is his weight, he can hanker down to where you're going to have to give the double team. And his hand
mm-hmm.
technique, Rick, is just way above where he should be. I mean, he's a third,
okay.
fourth-year guy already just with that. So when you put – and he's an athletic type of guy within inside the interior. So believe me, he's a guy that's definitely going to change the blocking schemes within the division and any NFL team that has to go against this guy. So look forward to
Great.
Watching this guy for some years to come. But,
feel
yeah,
a lot
moving
better.
On.
Awesome.
Oh, I love that pick. But Richard Sherman, you got to have Richard on there. Josh, excuse me, Josh Sitton is a guy that I've been liking for years, offensive guard from Green Bay. And he's like in his 8th season, 4th round guy out of Central Florida. Sue, of course, now at the Dolphins. You got to have him included like you had in your top 5. Demaryius Thomas is a wide receiver I had in there. Earl Thomas, free safety, he had a Luis Vasquez, offensive guard from Denver that I love. Of course, J.J. Watt. Eric Weddle, I know you know from San Diego, the strong safety. I love him. He's
yep.
never really got the love that I think he should. Trent Williams, offensive tackle from Washington, who I feel like right now is premier left tackle. And then I can't leave Russell Wilson off. So I think we had included 5 to 6 quarterbacks. And you just can't get away from this. You know, in the passing game these days, and there is a quality, a girth of amount of quarterbacks, and so I just couldn't get away. I had to cut the list off because, you know, I had to supplement other positions. But I think I came with 5 quarterbacks and 4 wide receivers, and I think that was my biggest position groups right there, which is more or less, you know, looking at the passing game these days, Rick.
Well, it's very pragmatic on your part, because that's where the league is right now. And again, there is a real de-emphasis on the running game, to be sure.
Right.
Although, again, it's a copycat league. So you wonder if, mm-hmm. in looking at Seattle, if that's going to be something that kind of makes teams kind of think to go back in that direction. Although, again, you've seen in recent years, there's not a lot of bell cows, and maybe the Seattle situation is kind of unique because how many Marshawn Lynches are out there. You look at this past year's draft, Todd Gurley, he's a guy who, if and when he gets 100% healthy, maybe projects that way. Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State next year could project mm-hmm. as that kind of a guy. You've got to be somebody who's big and with speed, and that's a rare combination.
Right.
But, it's almost going to take somebody like that to make this list year in and year out, as opposed to scat backs, no matter how great they may be. Right, Ken?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know my philosophy. I love, you know, the running game. And I wish it mm-hmm. would go back to somewhat of the Seattle type, you know, more of a balanced type offense.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not as, you know, with the five wide. You know, I love the excitement of the game, but I just like to hear the other game when you got that mashing fullback in front and let's see who, you know, can win it at the line of scrimmage type of situation. But, you know, in my evaluation, looking at the college level, I say you got a nice crop of running backs coming the next 2 to 3 years. So, you know, that could, you know, you got to have the available athlete, bottom line.
Sure.
And so a lot of times, these times, you know, with the offenses going the way they are, a lot of your good running backs are linebackers now at this time. You know, the 6'2", 230 or 235 guys that have the feet needed in space. So a lot of times I think the colleges are moving those guys to the defense, you know, to combat these offenses, and they're getting lighter and faster and quicker, so that's taken away from the offense. You do have, you know, the receivers coming out because mainly it's primarily passing game now. So more or less, like you said, the trends. And more coaches are trending towards, you know, where they feel the offense is right now. So, you know, you're putting your receivers there. I think they're taking away from the running backs and, like I said, throwing them other places to combat the offense. But I think it will trend back because, you know, like in football, it's a trending type thing, like you said. And so I think in the next 2 to 3 years, you will see, you know, the running back position become more premier. And when you got those type of talents like Gordon that came out this year, that's another guy. You remember how high I was on Jamaal Charles coming out. I wouldn't say he was quite on that level, but he's not too far behind. So these type of athletes and players coming at the position, and you've got a bevy of them coming through, like I said, the next 2 to 3 years, I think it's going to have these NFL GMs have to almost, you know, take these guys in the first and top of the second round. And then your rushing game is going to come back. And then, boom, there you go. On the defensive side, you're going to have to combat that with that D-line and the linebackers. From, you know, back in the day type guys, your inside linebacker type. So I think it will trend back in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years. You'll definitely have the running game back in play. So as far as a guy like me, I prefer that. So from what I'm seeing from the college ranks coming through, I think we're going to be trending back that way.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. A real clip and save prediction that the pendulum could be going back towards the running game because of the available crop that will be coming out of college the last couple of years. I agree with you as far as being high on Melvin Gordon. He's one of the reasons that San Diego is a Super Bowl dark horse for me. I like the way that he's going to fit into that offense. I think he's going to give them more stability in the running game than they've had the last couple of years. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a tremendous
help
there.
No, wait a second. Did I hear you say Super Bowl?
Super Bowl. I think they could come out of the AFC. I think the AFC is going to be a little more wide open.
That boldness there, Rick. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you got the quarterback over there, Phillip Rivers. There's no question about it.
Well, and Keenan Allen, we forget after the year that Beckham had, but Keenan Allen
mm-hmm.
had what I think we would consider an outstanding year for a rookie wide receiver before Odell Beckham kind of just reset the bar altogether. So I look for Keenan Allen to bounce back. The other guys there are very underrated. Certainly Malcolm mm-hmm. Floyd helped me a little bit fantasy-wise down the stretch last year. I like him for that. Gates is going to miss the first couple of games, but he'll be back after that. Defensively, I think they're in good shape. You talked a little bit about the safety position previously, and I agree with you there. Yeah, I like a lot of what they have to offer, and I think they're going to be an interesting team. In our second or so remaining here, let's just talk about firstdownscouting.com, the number one, stdownscouting.com. I know you've got more under the radar profiles of players than anybody else. I know that's been a specialty of yours, but in general, what you would want people to know about what you got focused on over at your fine site.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, I'm really hitting it hard these days. You know, I'm sure you know it's kind of hard to get a hold of me. And more or less, I'll tell you what, I'm putting 3 to 4 hours minimum day looking at these college prospects coming through for the upcoming college season for the NFL. So what I try to do is I'm trying to hit all 100-plus Division I teams before the season starts. And what I do is, you know, when I look at the game film, I'm not just looking for the 2016 season prospects. I'm looking for freshmen through seniors. So what you get over at First Down Scouting is not just for the upcoming NFL season, but you're looking at the prospects. You're looking at who's the guy over at Green Bay I can't – Jordy Nelson, for instance. I remember I talked to you about him years ago when he was coming through. I remember spotting him when he was on special teams. And so, you know, there's certain characteristics that I know I can see, even from a guy on special teams, that you can predict second, first-round type talent, provided he's used properly. And a lot of times, you know, in NFL drafts, like if a guy doesn't put the numbers up at the college rank, depending on the offense he might be in or what have you, quarterback or whatever, he's not going to put those numbers up and you're going to tend to drop. So that's when you start to get the value. If Jordy Nelson didn't get the throws that his talent warranted, he wouldn't have went in the second round. Like he should have been a first rounder, but, you know, that's a whole other story. But these are the type of guys that can go under the radar. You get a first-round type talent, a third, fourth round. And if those are the kind of guys you're looking for, and even for fantasy, Rick, you know, I'm giving you guys that you can, you know, pick up cheap, you know, maybe for injury or what have you. You know, come look at the site now. I'm going to have it categorized, you know, by position in every college, however you want to look at it. I'll have the drop down put in here in the next month or so before the season starts. So definitely if you want to find guys that are under the radar, you know, hey, I'm not tooting my horn, but you know how many years I've been doing this now, and I'm just trying to get the exposure to get out there so that other people can see, you know, what I'm bringing and what
That's
I can great. Offer.
Scout, you always go snap the whistle and covering these guys. You are
you remember
a role
that.
Model
you remember
for
that.
Work ethic. Yes, a role model for work ethic in the 21st century media lines. Thank you so much, my man.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.